we've seen the value of Bitcoin appreciate so much and people want to unlock some of that value.
It's accessible to basically anyone with a smartphone. So let's just start there, right? You don't have the traditional barriers with that other bank accounts have. And from the efficiency standpoint as well, we're talking about real-time, very low-cost payments.
Regulations have opened up a little bit, and that's what Mike has taken advantage of in terms of creating these platforms to allow smaller investors, lower minimums, different guidelines for participating in this. So,
Lynn and Israel are partners at Base Layer Advisors, where they employ their strong network of venture capital partners and startups to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, they support founders with their strategic growth and fundraising goals. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more.
Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. We are your co-hosts, Israel and Lynn. Today, doing another highlights episode, we summarize the recent content that we've been able to publish on the podcast. This time around, we have a mix of founder episodes. We have two deep dive episodes and we have one investor. So Lynn, what are we looking at?
Yeah, it's kind of a random mix this time around, but I think we've got some incredible content. So on the founder side, we have Mauricio, the CTO of Ledin, which is a lending platform to extract value and make value usable out of Bitcoin. We have Voltage, which is a Lightning provider of services related to Lightning to help more companies integrate Lightning into their ability for payments. The deep dives are the Jade Blockstream, which is a hardware device, a signing device for storing your Bitcoin. But that conversation really talks about the importance of self-sovereignty and self-storage and how the kind of how what the evolution has been in terms of those devices to kind of bringing it to a really beautiful, highly usable device that makes it kind of fun to store your Bitcoin. And then Lightning payments report that came out sponsored by Breeze that really just shows the incredible current usability and use cases of Lightning throughout the ecosystem. And then the last one that we'll talk about is Muzz and Lightning Ventures and the Thunder Funder platform, which really has democratized the ability to invest in Bitcoin companies, which we love to see so that more people can get involved with the companies that we're seeing so much innovation in.
We'll go through some of the talking points for each one of these. As you're pointing out, Lynn, there's a variety of innovation that each one of their business models or deep dives are covering, which is great to see because they're showcasing different ways of unlocking Bitcoin's value. So it's exciting. I mean, let's get right into it. We can start with first the Ledin episode with founder Mauricio. And so that Ledin, maybe just contextualizing, this has been one of the longest standing Bitcoin lending platforms. I believe if I'm not mistaken, around 7 years. So I think just for listeners who are unaware of the lending space in Bitcoin, I'll just say that this lending model in Bitcoin has been a roller coaster. You may have heard of a lot of these companies that ended up failing, BlockFi, Celsius, they were in the media. There was a lot of fraud that happened and under collateralization. So there's been a lot happening and a lot of failures in the lending space over the past few years. But Ledin was a particularly interesting conversation because Mauricio, as co-founder, explains how they've been able to build a successful business on a solid foundation, managing the risk. He explains that they go through regular audits and publish all of those audits, so it's all verifiable. How they actually manage that collateral at Ledin. And stepping back from that as well is a very interesting founder story. But what were some of your thoughts on Ledin, Lynn?
Yeah, I mean, I loved this whole story. First of all, Mauricio is from Venezuela, and so just the whole to your point, the founder story of how he and his family became involved in Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining and how the miners were confiscated by the Venezuelan government and they had to flee the country. And Mauricio has been based in Canada for a number of years. But But, you know, I think when you have a founder story that runs so close to the real purpose and benefits of Bitcoin, to, just to have that ability to take your wealth with you when you leave an autocratic country or a political environment that's not friendly to what you're doing, you know, it underscores the importance of it. And so Mauricio, having had Bitcoin that appreciated in value, you know, wanted to unlock some of that value, in his case, to buy more miners. And there was nothing that existed. So solving a problem that the founder has themselves, I think, is one of the best ways to see a success. But, you know, it's also what I loved about it is it's one of those stories where the good guy wins, because Mauricio, from the very beginning, and Ledin was really trying to be transparent to ensure that the collateral was, that the loans were fully collateralized, that there was not any manipulation of, you know, of overlending versus the collateral. And so, you know, they did things the correct way, and they struggled for a while in the era of Celsius and some of the other players that were much more aggressive in their lending platforms and ultimately failed. And so Ledin continued on. And I think it will be one of the stronger players because of its reputation, because they built it on a foundation of trust. And I do think that this next cycle in Bitcoin, as we've seen the value of Bitcoin appreciate so much and people want to unlock some of that value, I think that the belief is that Bitcoin will continue to appreciate. So if you can pull some of the value out while you have an appreciating asset, the way they handle their lending is very conservative. So I think that there'll be a forerunner in this new realm of lending platforms and lending models that I think is going to be one of the hallmarks of the next phases of the financialization of Bitcoin. So I see great prospects for Ledin and built on a very solid foundation.
Yeah, it's worth a listen. I mean, the financialization of Bitcoin just broadly is coming in big, I think. You know, we've talked in other conversations about how we've identified this as one of the kind of key pillars of innovation going forward. And you mentioned, you know, models, plural, this is a great starting point. We should reference that there are variations to this as well. We've seen some innovative models in a non-custodial lending fashion or collaborative custodial lending fashion, which we'll also cover in the podcast. But Ledin, to your point, Mauricio recognizes that they need to be transparent in order to earn that trust. So that's what they strive to do. But I agree, Lynn, that it's definitely one to watch going forward. Another interesting data point, which I think we've also seen some commonalities and I think is showcasing that lots of these startups are in the Bitcoin space are just being born with efficiency in mind. And they're really being careful with how they deploy capital, how they form their teams, how they grow. And all this to say, Mauricio mentions that they're actually a smaller team now than they were in 2021, and that they've implemented some AI into their business model. But their volumes from 2021 to now have, of course, both in volumes and number of clients, grown massively. And they're a smaller team, which it's just another interesting kind of parallel thing to watch, because you do see these just extremely efficient companies. I mean, and this goes broader than Bitcoin, right? A lot of this is due to just other technology and artificial intelligence. But, you know, I think we do see a commonality in Bitcoin startups of just being very lean and efficient teams, which I found interesting as well.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think, I guess if you're holding Bitcoin in your treasury, or if you're receiving Bitcoin as payments, you guard that and you don't want to spend it. Where, you know, if you're just burning through cash that you've raised from VCs, you really don't have the same sensibility about how cautiously you spend those dollars. So we do see a shift in that, and that's evident in Ledin. And also in Voltage, our second, Graham, I love his story about finding it. And he really created the company. He created the technology just out of curiosity and kind of a project, just seeing, you know, what could be done. I mean, it feels to me that he's a very curious mind, and it just started to take off so much. Just the ability, he saw the potential of Lightning payments and the efficiencies that they could provide to businesses, and created Voltage. And to this day, I mean, I think it's one of the largest companies in the space, and they've been very successful in raising funds from a variety of both Bitcoin-focused VCs as well as traditional VCs. He's got a great cap table of investors on it, but super lean team. And, you know, just the way that they're growing and the foundational technology that they're providing to make Lightning more accessible to more businesses and how that journey has grown. But yeah, the efficiency of running a company in the Bitcoin space is just something that we see over and over again.
Voltage, yeah. I mean, one of the main players, like you mentioned, Graham has an interesting founder story as well, as far as just being very tech savvy and a developer that started to dedicate his time to Bitcoin and specifically this payments and Lightning layer. He references that particularly drew his attention as just this kind of second massive wave of uses and adoption for the Bitcoin protocol. And he's, of course, been able to build a great platform for that. And he basically services, it's a B2B, he services businesses and facilitating their adoption of Lightning for their own internal purposes or for their customers. And it was interesting. I found that Graham mentions that they're seeing a pretty significant uptick in not only Bitcoin-only customers, so, you know, maybe Bitcoin exchanges or other Bitcoin services. He mentions that they're seeing an uptick in just traditional fintech beginning to be interested and see the value in some of the efficiency that the Lightning Network provides, right?
Yeah, as I listen to this again, it's just no wonder. I mean, you and Graham had some great exchanges in there. And this is all your background too, Israel. I mean, you really know payments deeply and you started a company for more efficient payments once the light bulb went on for you with Bitcoin as a technology and it was pre-Lightning. So it didn't work the same way. But I could just see where, you know, Graham is thinking a lot the same way you were thinking in those early days when you were looking at how to make payments more efficient using Bitcoin. So and Graham said he wanted to change the perception of Bitcoin being kind of a slow technology and that Lightning really gives the opportunity to do so and how he's using that. We talk about stable coins on Lightning and just talk about all the potential going forward. But I can see where this episode, you really have a lot of great exchanges with Graham in here and talking about, because it is kind of crazy when you think about that anybody would still use legacy financial systems. It's just going to take some while, some education to let companies, businesses, global conglomerates know how much more efficient things can be on Bitcoin protocol.
Yeah. And a lot of it is just lack of knowledge. I mean, if you think Bitcoin payments are clunky or slow, give this one a listen because it sheds light on how that's not the case at all. And it's gonna open up so many doors. I mean, I was trying to build a business model around payments that even before Lightning, it was still, in my view, a much better alternative, just on-chain Bitcoin transactions for cross-border payments. It's still much better than the alternative of going through a bunch of intermediaries and just the inefficiencies that brings. But now you add on the capabilities that Lightning has added to Bitcoin, which is extremely efficient real-time payments. It's going to just open up so many doors. And, you know, you can kind of go down an entire rabbit hole there. But very interesting episode. He also sheds light on the scalability of Lightning, speaks a little bit to AI's integration with micropayments. Anyways, lots of content there, but worth the listen regarding Lightning and what Voltage is doing to facilitate businesses' use of it.
And then the last thing too is that, you know, Graham does give some advice in the episode also to people that are fundraising inside of Bitcoin companies. And we were talking about the efficiency of Bitcoin companies. And we do tend to find that, you know, we've got a great core group of Bitcoin-oriented VCs that are supporting these companies, but Graham went a little different way. And just as he's expanding his market to be not just Bitcoin companies, but traditional fintech companies as clients of Voltage, he also has a mix of investors on his cap table, as I mentioned before. But, you know, when you have somebody like a Google Ventures or Kraft Ventures, which is David Sachs' VC fund, you know, it just shows the breadth. You know, I think that helps him draw in, you know, business development opportunities to a broader range of client. And he gives the advice that, you know, that startups should diversify their investor profile so that by having more voices on your cap table, you can identify more opportunities in your potential market. So I like that piece of advice that he gave, you know, as we were closing out the episode.
Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River. River is a financial services company that allows you to purchase, sell, and transfer your Bitcoin all through a great suite of products, high security standards, and as of recent, even allowing you to earn a Bitcoin yield on your US dollar cash deposits. For a personalized onboarding experience, go to partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin.
Then we transition over to the deep dive episodes, which were also quite different one from the other. So the first one, let's start with Jade, and that was with Rich and Drew from the Blockstream Jade team, which is a hardware wallet for self-custodying Bitcoin. So a little more on the digital gold hard property side of things, but it's also a great episode on And it's a very detailed episode. So we get into the hardware components, even a lot of the design that they put into just making it very easy to use, because traditionally it's been a bit hard to use some of these, you know, hardware wallets unless you're pretty advanced technically. And you see the evolution of some of these products in just being a lot more user friendly, right? So the Jade episode for self-custody is a great conversation. Also, starting there actually on why self-custody is important. And, you know, they get into some gold comparisons and some of those topics. But what were your thoughts on it, Lynn?
Yeah, it was a really different episode for us because we usually don't take a specific product and we're not sponsored by Blockstream or anything like that. But we are big fans of Blockstream just overall as a company and their ethos and their philosophy. But I think the conversation is not so much about the blocks. I mean, yes, it gets into the Blockstream Jade product itself, but the bigger picture of why, from the foundation of Bitcoin, is the concept of self-custody so important. And I think we get lost in that a little bit because it's easy to have it at an exchange and it's easy to have someone, you know, take care of it for you, custody it for you. But, you know, the philosophical reasons of exploring this at the very least is really core to what Bitcoin is all about. And I think that tools like the Jade make it easier, make it more friendly. I think there is a tech block about, oh no, I'm going to have to be responsible for, you know, my password, my keys, and what happens if I lose it. And so just by showing the ways that they've thought about this product to have these layers of comfort built into it while still giving you self-sovereignty is great. And the core behind that is the fact that the technology is open source. So I love that aspect of it. So they've said, anybody can take the Blockstream Jade tech and buy $10 worth of hardware and create their own hardware device if they choose to do so. And the open source means it has community ideas that are all incorporated into it. It also has vetting by the community to ensure that it's secure, that there's no vulnerabilities inside of the storing device. So I love again, Bitcoin is open source. And so when you have open source projects like this, you can see where it just, it just really is part of the whole idea behind it. So I loved the conversation. And I think it's, for anyone who's a little bit curious about how a hardware wallet works or what is behind it, this is a great episode to get educated on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're making it easier to unlock one of Bitcoin's most important attributes, which is being able to transact in a truly sovereign way. And I encourage anyone who hasn't experimented with that to do so. It's really encouraging to see them, among others. There's many great hardware wallets just innovating and putting a lot of design thinking into making it easier to use, as you're mentioning, Lynn. So that was a great episode with the Blockstream Jade team. Then we also had another deep dive episode recently with Breeze and 1A1Z on their Bitcoin payments report that they released in February or March.
February.
I can't remember. And they go into showcasing that Bitcoin is being used as a currency. It's not only a store of value, but also a peer-to-peer transactional currency, and how businesses are using it, how individuals are using it. I mean, this was a great, they did a phenomenal job with the report. But what were some of the main talking points for you, Lynn?
Yeah, I think that when we think about Bitcoin, I mean, there's a lot of discussion these days about Bitcoin as a store of value, talking about adopting the U.S. government, adopting it as a strategic reserve. And you see so much conversation in Wall Street around that aspect. And so it's been overshadowing perhaps the idea of it as a medium of exchange or payments. And this report was fantastic because it did, to your point, Israel, really bring out a lot of the use cases. And what I loved about it, I mean, you talk about research report and people usually run for the hills, you know, unless they're really encouraged about the technology like we are, we want to read it. But this is one of the most readable reports I've ever had because it's done in the shape of stories. So they tell stories about like Thunder Games, who's been on our podcast, but just talking about how gaming is incorporating Lightning payments and the thought process behind that. Luxury brands, markets in Southeast Asia that are using it, and so they take these examples and they show not only the benefits to the consumer in terms of greater usability and lower costs, but also to the businesses. So the bottom lines of the business that have been incorporating Lightning into their payment infrastructure, just really, I think if you read that report and you're not incorporating Lightning into your business, I don't understand what the next step could be. So it just, and it also provides the tools too. So what are the steps for a business to take? How can they get help and how can they get guidance? So it's less of a research report than a roadmap of what all the possibilities are for implementing Lightning payments within your own business or organization. So I felt it was, and Danny and Dan are just two great individuals to talk to too. So they're just a wealth of knowledge about the subject matter and just engaging to hear from. So I love this episode.
Yeah. And to your point, they do have very strong backgrounds as it relates to this report. So Danny explains that he came from TransferWise and how the financial inclusion aspect of Bitcoin is what drew him in. And of course, Wise is one of the most relevant fintech companies around. And then Dan from 1A1Z explains his background, and he was deep into the tech from early on and co-founded Hyperledger, which was acquired, then moved to Bakkt and other roles. And they both do have very relevant and strong experience as it relates to this technology and topic. So they did a great job. I mean, I agree, Lynn. It showcases a lot of the, and that's what they kind of speak to, right? Is that they say, we want to let people know this isn't a hypothetical anymore. This is working. It is being used as a currency and in a few different segments of the economy. And they give some examples, as you mentioned, gaming, luxury goods, marketplaces. So they do a great job showcasing this payments aspect of Bitcoin. And they speak to the accessibility and efficiency. So to your point, as far as those businesses that maybe aren't integrating it today, this report is a great starting point, because although it's still a small slice of the broader payments market, we discuss with them how much more accessible it is as a technology. I mean, just from a starting point, it's accessible to basically anyone with a smartphone. So let's just start there, right? You don't have the traditional barriers that other bank accounts have. And from the efficiency standpoint as well, we're talking about real-time, very low-cost payments. And so all the possibilities that unlocks are well spoken to by Danny and Dan.
And then our last episode to profile is Lightning Ventures with Muzz, with Mike Jermis. And Yeah. And so that's our investor episode for this time. And I feel like if there was a People's Choice Awards in Bitcoin or Bitcoin investing, that it would go to Muz because he has worked so hard. And I love the story. I mean, just listening to him talk, he's such an enthusiastic person, but also, you know, really wants to make it more accessible for more people to be involved in not just Bitcoin, but Bitcoin startups and Bitcoin innovation. And so through the two, investing platforms that he has, Lightning Ventures and Thunder Funder, you know, he's really bringing crowdsourced fundraising to both founders, because sometimes it's hard to raise an initial round, but you need some cash to you know, pre-seed your company and get it on traction. And so he's providing these vehicles to allow funders to raise from a more democratized pool of investors and for individuals who, you know, especially I think anyone who's been in Bitcoin for a period of time, you know, they see the appreciation in Bitcoin, they're involved in the ecosystem, and it's like, how else can I support it? And you can run a node, you can have a miner, but you can also invest in companies. And I think this just provides the vehicles in which you can participate in some of the upside growth of the infrastructure that will increase the usage and adoption of Bitcoin. So I just really applaud what he's doing and am super excited for the platforms that he's providing to the community and to the ecosystem. And what do you think about it?
Yeah, you know, some people don't immediately think that investing in Bitcoin companies or startups is that accessible to them. And that's precisely the pain point that Muz is trying to alleviate, which is just great to see. I mean, and his story is just, it showcases that in a really interesting way. I mean, he comes from a very different background. He comes from, you know, the music and entertainment space and just always had a natural excitement for getting involved with private companies, with the startup space. He mentions that he read Jason Calacanis's book and got very excited on startup investing. And he kind of went down that rabbit hole and has invested with small check sizes in many startups. And he explains why he feels that's been important for his own learning. And he goes through a little bit of those reasons why he believes it is important for anyone that's relatively interested to start small and kind of accompany a private company's journey and growth, because you learn a lot from the founder story, from, you know, what works, what doesn't, about the capital markets. So I really enjoy his mission because you can tell it's a kind of a core belief of his that this should be more democratized. And to your point, Lynn, he's worked very hard to build these two platforms, and he does have some of the most accessible platforms in the Bitcoin space for investing in startups, right? I mean, Lightning Ventures, he mentions, I believe the minimum is $1,000 for accredited investors. And then Thunder Funder, that opens up the crowdfunding model. And he explains a little bit of the regulatory ins and outs and some of the difficulties, quite frankly, that he's had in getting both of these platforms going. But I mean, he is opening up the access to startup investing in the Bitcoin space, which is just phenomenal.
And you said difficulty getting them going, and the difficulty really ties into the regulatory requirements, just to be clear, and how many hoops you have to jump through, not only to get it, you know. He tells the story of Jolts, which has been on our podcast before too. And they had a huge announcement down in El Salvador with being able to offer stablecoins on the Lightning Network. Tether is now also offering stablecoins on the Lightning Network. And to be able to announce that to the community was restricted based on the regulatory environment in which Thunder Funder operates. And so it's kind of crazy still. But, you know, if you go to Bitcoin's core philosophy, it's really about individuals being able to participate in exchange value one-to-one. And the big picture macro view that we're operating in today, we see that some of the reasons money is broken is because it's becoming increasingly concentrated in those investors who have been able to participate in the growth of companies. And that's through venture investing, through the stock market. And in terms of venture investing and tech in particular, I mean, you know, you have these minimum requirements of net worth or income that preclude many people from being able to increase their wealth in these platforms. And so thankfully, regulations have opened up a little bit, and that's what Mike has taken advantage of in terms of creating these platforms to allow smaller investors, lower minimums, different guidelines for participating in this. So, you know, he's not only, I mean, he's providing this, but he's also, I think, you know, being a true Bitcoiner and breaking the system of only allowing those who have to invest in the highest potential growth for the next, you know, wave of successes. And that's where I think, you know, it's really important that all of us as Bitcoiners understand the opportunity that, yes, it's a tremendous asset that will increase in value, but it's also remaking the entire global value transfer system. And so if you can invest in the companies that are creating these tools and these infrastructures and these on-ramps and off-ramps and, you know, and ability to extract value, I mean, you're going to participate in the growth of the ecosystem as a whole. So I mean, that's what we're all about here at Build with Bitcoin, is just showcasing the opportunities that are taking place in innovation and encouraging investment in them and in the funds that support them. But if you can, you know, join Thunder Funder and Lightning Ventures just to dip your toe in the water, we would highly encourage you to do so.
Yeah, precisely. And he does also mention that that he sees this as a kind of second or third step to anyone's journey into the space. I mean, if you don't understand Bitcoin, the first, of course, learn what Bitcoin is. You'll eventually start saving in Bitcoin. And then after that, there is just this very exciting world of private companies, and in a very opportune moment, like you're saying, Lynn, because we right now we still have this kind of asymmetric opportunity that most people still don't fully understand Bitcoin, and within that group, a lot of people still haven't opened their eyes to the massive opportunities that are being created through private companies and just so many different business models.
It's really curious because you, I, and Mike probably would all agree that you should understand Bitcoin first and then invest in the companies. But because we have a diverse audience of listeners that may be more traditional tech, traditional VC, angel investors, it would be so interesting to see if somebody started their journey by investing in Bitcoin companies because they understand tech and the promise of tech and they feel more comfortable in that realm, and then get into Bitcoin because of that, or see the difference between Bitcoin and other crypto platforms. But yeah, that could be an interesting flip that we may not be seeing, but also a possible journey for getting involved in the ecosystem.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I guess that wraps up the main talking points and highlights that we found in these recent conversations. A mixed bag, as we were referencing in the beginning, but each of these have great content. And again, take your pick. That's what we hope to achieve with these highlights episodes, is to do a quick summary and allow listeners to delve deeper depending on their topic of interest.
Yep. I think overall, I mean, this collection just really points to increasing usability and increasing ease of use of the Bitcoin protocol in very practical applications. So it's we hope you enjoy the episodes and hope the highlights helps you pick the ones that are most interesting to you. Thanks for listening to the Build with Bitcoin podcast. If you found benefit in what you heard in this episode, we'd truly appreciate it if you would like, share, or leave a comment on whichever platform you're listening, as this helps others find us, which is especially important for a new podcast. And as a reminder, our content is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not to be considered investment advice or recommendation to invest in any company or asset mentioned in the podcast. Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a full-service, 100% reserve custody, Bitcoin-only financial services company. For your next Bitcoin purchase, use our exclusive link, partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin. Thank you sincerely for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.